You're listening to Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Welcome to the one show that takes you where others won't, out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, that pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist.
Well, welcome on this wonderful, beautiful, warm day in Southern California. You know, when we, all the people we've interviewed over the last year, and there have been over 100 of them, they CEOs from companies in various stages of the life cycle of a business, some maturing, looking to, for the CEO looking to exit or to sell the business, to merge with another enterprise, others right at the peak of their enjoyment of success, expertise in strong markets, others struggling because, maybe not because of where they were in the business cycle, but because the economic cycle was getting in the way. And sometimes we are in the early stages of businesses. There are times when we hit it right when a company is beginning to move into that hockey stick zone. And this morning I met a CEO of a company that seems to be right in that rocket ship taking off. So I want to welcome the CEO of Pocket Finder, Dave Morse, to talk to us a little bit about what Pocket Finder is, tell us a little bit about the market, some of the successes you've had, and then in the second half of the show, we'll talk about what it was like to start up a business in this economy and how we've moved it through to the point right now where we're strapping in the seatbelts and hanging on to the armrests because the rocket is taking off. So welcome, David.
Hi, Will. Thanks for having me on your show.
Does that sound like a pretty clear picture of where Pocket Finder is today?
It's a great picture of where we are, and we are just anxious to hold on and see where it takes us.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about what Pocket Finder does.
Sure. I'd be happy to do that. Pocket Finder is one of our products. We have several form factors of the Pocket Finder. One is a personal locator device, another is a vehicle device, and then we have a couple of variants that are more commercial in their application. But unlike most GPS devices that we're familiar with and use perhaps each day in our cars, because they help us get to where we need to go, this particular solution is a connection, an ability to allow other people to see where you are or for you to see where family members or business associates are or assets or a beloved dog, you know, a pet that you have. So you get to see where things are that are important to you in your life.
All right. So talk a little bit about what, you know, we've got a device that is attached to one of the things I want to track. And then what do I have in my hand?
Okay. A vehicle device is tied into a power source. It can go in your car or a truck, a motorcycle, your boat, an RV, you know, any kind of watercraft, anything that has a motor. From 3.7 volts all the way up to 24 volts. You can put this device on there and then know where it is at any time during the day, no matter where you are in the world and no matter what time it is. You can just log right in either through a computer or through your smartphone and see where that asset is. At the personal level, the one that you saw this morning, it's a small device, 2 inches in diameter. We like to say it's about the size of a double-stuffed Oreo cookie, and it fits into a pocket or attaches to your belt or into a backpack, and that is a battery-operated device, and it'll last anywhere from 3.5 to 5.5 or 6 days, depending on how strong your cell coverage is in the area that you're operating. And that highly mobile device will go with you anywhere. We've had devices in in many countries in Africa, Middle East, Taiwan, China, New Zealand, Australia, many countries down in South America and Mexico, Canada, up in Alaska, and anywhere there's a GSM network, it operates.
Well, now I have on my iPad right now. You loaded on the app this morning.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here looking at these motorcyclists in Uganda.
That's
who
correct.
Who are probably sleeping right now, right?
They're correct.
And but I could track them. I could track now. Not only can I track where they are, I can also, what else could I track with them?
Well, you'll know, how long they've been there, if they've stopped at a particular place. You'll know how far they've gone. You'll also be able to see the speed that they're currently driving, or you can look in the history, see all the places that they've been in a breadcrumb-type setting, including the addresses and the speeds at each point along their journey. And, I mean, it's just a wonderful tool. If you had specific places like they do where they're going into particular cities and they're raising funds for orphans of AIDS victims over in Africa, well, they have events that take place in these cities. And so they could set a zone around that city so that people know when they're getting close, they would get an alert or a notice that they were coming into the city.
So when Herman Cain's bus shows up in Orange County, we could know, right?
That's a really good idea. Absolutely. That's a perfect application. If you're trying to create a buzz and you've got a team of people going into an area or, it's entertainment coming in, that's a great way to notify people. You could put it up on your Facebook or any of your social media and have tweets going out that, they're, 100 miles away, 50 miles away, 10 miles away, whatever you set it up for.
Interesting. Just automatically do that.
And it will automatically do it. You don't need to worry about it. Once you set it up, it just keeps running.
So this is going to be, this will be very helpful for families who, let's see, peace of mind. I think that's what Greg was talking about this morning.
Your
new VP for sales and marketing. Listen, you got a steal there, Dave. This is a wonderful guy, a wonderful addition to your company.
He is, he's our chief marketing and sales officer.
Absolutely.
So he'll be leading the charge here for us.
So Greg Granger, Greg Granger's a great guy, good friend, and I just have a lot of respect for him. So he's going to do a lot of great things for you and the company there.
Yes, we're excited.
So Greg was saying that this is that the way he sees this for families is peace of mind. I can put this on my animal, my pet, especially if my pet runs around. I'll be able to find out exactly where that pet is and where it's been. If I were concerned about my children, where they are, you said we could just take this small. It's about the size of, how would you classify? It's about the size of not much larger than a cookie, is it? An Oreo cookie.
Exactly, double stuffed Oreo cookie is.
All right,
just fits right there.
Take that double.
Stuffed Oreo cookie.
Double stuffed, right. Right, double stuffed Oreo cookie. And drop that in the backpack, and you know where, you can tell where your children are at school.
Absolutely.
You can tell where they are when they've gone to after school events like tennis or hockey practice or bicycling. You'll know where they are, right?
Absolutely. And even we had a wife of an Ironman. He does Ironman competitions, and he goes out in the ocean and swims for hours. And so she called wanting to know if they were waterproof, and we said absolutely, submersible waterproof, not just waterproof. resistant. And so it's a perfect application where someone's out riding for their bikes for hours or swimming in the ocean for hours, you know, surfers who are going out there. And it's just a safety feature. Peace of mind is exactly the right term for it.
All right. So good. So for a family, you could use it for tracking family, knowing where the families are. Now, Greg was talking about when he was in Europe, he would have used this with his wife when he was in meetings all day, and she was touring around at various places. And he said it would have been nice, it would have been more peace of mind if he could have simply looked at a computer or looked at his smartphone and said, that's where she is right now.
Absolutely. You know, we consider the Pocket Finder capability as a device or a tool that will change the way people and families stay connected with each other. And that's an excellent application because you're busy, you're focused in on the day's work, and you don't want to have to step to the side and take out your phone and make a bunch of calls. In a minute's lull in the meeting, you can open up your smartphone, pop up your screen, and see exactly where they are and that things are okay.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at these guys in Uganda. I mean, it doesn't take it's just a click between the guys in Uganda and some of the test sites that you have over here with some young children, right?
Absolutely. Your comment just a few moments ago made me think about the father in Laguna Beach nearby, whose son was going to preschool, first time leaving home on his own, getting on a bus to go to school. Parents were concerned about a couple things. One, to make sure he got to school. But number two, make sure he got on the right bus after school to get home. And so with our device, you know, he knows exactly when the bus gets there and picks up his child, when he gets to school, and then after school that the bus is going the right route to take him back home. And, you know, peace of mind. That's what it's all about.
And what's interesting about, you know, with regard to children, is you're doing all of this, you have peace of mind, and you're not intruding on the self-esteem of the child by, you know, saying that, indicating that somehow they may have made a mistake, and they're just checking to make sure that you didn't make a mistake. Going on without the child even knowing about it.
That's an excellent point. As a matter of fact, I mean, I grew up, I'm an older guy, you know, I'm in my late 50s, and when I grew up, as long as I was home before dark, my parents thought everything was great. But in our world today, there's some concerns even about your child going outside in the front yard or out on the street to play with other kids. And so we feel like this is a tool to push back against some of those concerns that are constraining the development of our kids. You can give them more freedom because you have this ability to see where they are and to know they're in the places they're supposed to be.
And by the way, late 50s, that's not old. You've got a lot of possibilities and potential ahead of you. Not even at middle age yet. So,
all right.
Keep going. Now, when I grew up, another difference is that I'll bet the same thing with you. My mother was home most of the time. She was there to receive us. And now that may or may not be true today, you know, with soccer moms driving around all over the place or professional moms having jobs. The peace of mind is I know where they are right now.
Yeah, well, that is an excellent point. I just read that 73 or 74% of parents with children are either dual income or a single parent. And so when you're away from them, the ability to, again, not in a way that interrupts your day, but just to be able to tag in and connect, you know, virtually with someone, and whether it's a new driver with one of our vehicle products, and have that virtual seat to know the speed they're going, where they're hanging out, it's a great parental tool. It just lets you know what's going on with your family, even though have to be working.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be seen as a big brother.
Not at all.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, if I'm at home and I'm paying attention to my children, or in my case, my grandchildren, yeah, I know they're in the other room watching TV. I have a sense of what they're watching. That's not a big brother. That's simply being aware of the environment. And what I see that you have given us with this technology is you've given us the ability to be aware of our environment at greater distances from where we are at this particular time. And in fact, you've taken us completely out of the center, because wherever we are, we can have awareness of where the people that we care about are.
Well said. I don't even know what to add to that. That is exactly where we come from. You know, for parents who care, concerned, a matter of fact, one of our trademarks is if you love it, locate it.
And yeah, right.
That's where we are.
Whether it's a boat that might be taken or a child that might wander. Now, let's talk about this is all for consumers, primarily for families, family units, for people who own particular mobile toys like boats and extra cars and things like that. But now let's think about, talk to us a little bit about commercial uses for this product and this system.
Oh, absolutely. You know, businesses are no less mobile than our families are. We're all experiencing an increase in pace and certainly mobility in our lives. You know, we're so dependent on our smartphones that deliver our email and voicemail and calls directly to us, no matter where we are, where we're traveling to. And so when you think about a commercial application in just as highly a mobile environment, you need to know where your key assets or human resources are, not just at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, but during the day. So our technology keeps you linked to those people and assets that your business success relies upon, so that when you have an opportunity or a change in whatever the processes that are going on outside, you are able to answer where those things are. When an opportunity calls in, you will then have the ability to project the win, because you can pull that screen up in seconds and see how close you have a person with the right skill set or an asset that can go by that new customer and grab that opportunity and project when they could be there. You haven't had that capability before.
Well, and I mean, you know, one of the wonderful things that I got to do a couple of weeks ago is one of my friends told me a little bit about this radio that he had in his car. And we both have older cars that we love the car, but unfortunately, the radio electronics have gone out of date. You know, we can't plug in a USB. It's not Bluetooth enabled. You know, but that's not enough reason to buy a new car. And both of us had struggled with that. Well, he came up with a solution. He found this wonderful Alpine radio that he could do all these new things to.
Uh-huh.
And then he also had a mobile installer.
Oh, that's a great idea.
All I had to do was call up, negotiate the price, and tell him when to come.
Sure.
And the next day, he was in my driveway installing the radio. Now, if this business were larger than just this one installer, you would be able to know exactly where they were, and you would be able to track and schedule in a much tighter way.
Absolutely.
You'd be able to schedule this asset. And even if you made one more call or one more sale a day, that would be, it could be a significant increase to the bottom line for a company.
Oh, absolutely. The work efficiency and the ability to coordinate so quickly, it can add directly to your bottom line, or it can be used to protect a valued asset, whether it's being shipped to somewhere else, someone's waiting for it, or that you've got out in the field and you know which asset to move that's going to cost you less money to get there and time.
Now, when you have a commercial device installed in a truck, you were showing me this morning that you can even tell when the doors are open on the truck. Is that right?
We're talking about the trailer. When you put this thing, we have just a pure location device, but we also have a variant where you can add the capability to measure the temperature in a trailer or the light, so you know when the back doors are opened and make sure that they're being opened at the right place and the right time. Mm-hmm. And so that is all transmitted along with the location directly to your screen so that you can see in a graph form the temperature in the back. So if you're hauling, say, seafood or produce or anything that needs to be temperature controlled, you would have that instant ability to look at not only the current state, but the historical state from the time you picked up your product.
And you can have it send alerts if the speed is certain speed is exceeded?
Yes, the speed and the temperature. You can set a range around the ideal temperature you want and, say, give it a variant of 2 or 3 degrees plus or minus. And then you would be notified if it went outside of those temperature parameters.
Well, now let's do a little brainstorming here. We know that some of the major increases in costs for a family, sometimes they're around automobile insurance.
Yes.
Especially for teenagers or first-year drivers or things like that. Now, because we've had to have a mass market, that what has happened is that the poor drivers have been subsidized by the good drivers. Because we have to deal with that as an average, we have to deal with it statistically, we have to deal with it in terms of mass, all of these people. But if we could insert, affix one of these devices to a car, and we could demonstrate that this driver never exceeds 65 miles an hour, is always on major roads, not doing strange things, that would certainly be a way to allow an insurance company to create a special category for price, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's an extremely valid point. And in the past, they haven't had the capability to look at a customer individually. But an application like this would give them that capability. I'll admit that I don't fall in the always driving under 65 range, but if I was going to be compensated for it, I may adjust my driving habits to match, because it's worth my time to do it.
Well, now, what Seth Godin, in his most recent book called We Are All Weird, what he says is that what he means by we're all weird is that we are no longer, the majority of us is no longer in the middle of the bell curve.
Yes.
That we are, the bell curve is flattening out, and there's more of us on the extremes, on the edges, which means that as we have devices like yours, which can begin to identify on a granular level, at a very granular level, can identify behaviors and identities, that we can begin to change the way that we have approached the marketplace by moving from this mass general specification to individual behaviors. I think that's going to be a very significant contribution to this demassification of the marketplace.
I think that's a great point, and this is exactly the kind of tool that allows you to be able to look at, say, costs for insurance or the cost of serving a particular customer that you have out there. I mean, how many times are they requiring you to go out? So you're right. You can literally customize and match your prices with demand or your price with a specific application by driver, by vehicle. So that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some very interesting uses made of this, because what I think is really astounding about where we are is that for a number of my clients, and I would certainly talk about your device in the same way, it's not a matter of buying the device. It's a matter of changing the whole way I approach the world. And once I do that, then the device just fills the gap, the necessary gap that I needed to have. It's the necessary piece. Because when we begin to see, wait a minute, my world is not just my house. I want to be aware of where people are in a larger scheme. I want to be able to track people in Africa if I have a connection to them. Like, goodness gracious, we have, fundraising with local marathons. Why couldn't we have fundraising with a marathon in Africa? I mean, I could just see how, I'm sure Greg's going to come up with these kind of ideas. You could sponsor a marathon from South Africa to Uganda and put it up in, on the big screen in several of our local watering holes.
Sure.
And raise money for, you name what charity.
Absolutely.
But being able to track those people long range, it just means that we have a lot of possibilities that are, as we change our whole mindset.
With the way the internet opens your ability to reach out and touch almost any part of the world, you're right. There are very few limitations to how you can stay connected today.
Absolutely. Well, this is wonderful. Now, you're going to stick around on the other side of the this break, right? And we're going to talk about how you got this business started and what it's been like, and what are some of the exciting points right now that have happened in the past month or so, and how this hockey stick feels as you begin to have that rocket engine behind you.
I'm honored to hang in here with you and love to talk about that.
We'll be right back for after a word from our sponsors.
Hello, this is Bob Anoni with Sandler Training, here to talk to you about rule number one. You have to learn to fail to win. Think about learning how to walk or riding a bike. When you first started to learn how to walk, of course you fell. And you fell again, but eventually you mastered the art of walking. Same thing with riding a bike or driving a car or making cold calls or starting up a business. Henry Ford failed four times before he succeeded. Thomas Edison worked almost 10 years on the light bulb before he succeeded. They weren't failures, but they were willing to risk failure to find out what they were truly capable of achieving. At Sandler, we ask you to learn from your failures and understand that the process is failing, not you as a person. You are not a failure. The process that you are using isn't apparently the right one to produce the results that you're trying to produce. So if the cold call isn't going well, we'd ask you to examine the sales process that you're using. Don't get discouraged if your sales call doesn't go well. Learn from it. So again, Sandler rule number one is you have to be willing to fail and risk failure in order to win, to find out what you're truly capable of achieving.
Well, we're back to a wonderful interview that we're having with David Morse, who is the CEO of, tell us the name of your company, David. It's not Pocket Finder. It is?
In Location-Based Technologies, and we are a public company.
And that extends way beyond just being the Pocket Finder. So
it is.
So talk to us about where the idea came from, how you began to, what have been the steps from the very beginning to up till today?
Okay. Well, it started with a need, which is one of the things that I used to press our marketing group when I was working for AT&T and Pacific Bell. I ran the consumer organization, sales and service side, and I used to talk to marketing all the time about not looking at inside at our technology and our products, but look outside into society and identify needs. Then we can look for solutions that we have in our arsenal of products and match to needs. Well, our chief development officer, Joe Scalise, had a young son, very social. Joe was a single parent. He would come home from work, and he just happened to be a developer of wireless technology, and into the house he'd go, and all the lights were off, and his son wasn't home. So he'd start dialing around the neighborhood to find out where Frankie was. And it took him a while to do that. And he thought, you know, there has to be a better way for me to know where my son is at any time. And so that started the thinking process. And, you know, at the time, the technology just wasn't there. But in 2005, late 2005, we did some market research, talked to what we believed were our potential customers, and we went driving down to bedrock on what they were looking for with the location device and what the features and the functionality should be, how it should be shaped even, and what the price points needed to be. And at that time, we began the company, and I believe it was October of 2005. And it was so early in the location-based space that we were able to file for and receive a trademark of our name, which is Location-Based Technologies. Now, another of our trademarks is Your World Located. Right now, our devices are GPS-based. We're not committed to any particular technology. We're committed to customers and what they need to be able to track and locate things that are of value to them, whether it's a person or a thing. And so as things evolve, we will evolve with them and stay committed to working within vertical markets, special applications, and deliver solutions that match their needs.
Okay.
So that's got us started.
You went to work on doing that.
Yep.
Yep.
So our friends and families provided the initial capital to get us rolling, to get all this research done and to start the feasibility part of building the device. By 2007, we saw the need for some additional capital to complete research and development. And so we raised $5.5 million. We went public in September of 2007, and we reversed into a never-traded shell. And we're traded on the bulletin boards. Our ticker symbol is LBAS, like location-based.
So you did a reverse merger into a shell, right?
We did.
And we've had another fellow on the show talked about how he did that. With his drug testing company.
Mm.
So we're familiar with that. So
it's a less expensive.
There was an easy way to go public.
Yes, less expensive, less time consuming, allows you to focus on your business and less on, you know, going their traditional IPO route.
Mm-hmm.
So we reversed into a shell. And we've been fully reporting since that time. And over the next period of time, we've spent $14 million in developing both the hardware and the software. That's a very unique position that our company is in, because most companies buy a already made GPS device. They'll buy the back end and they'll bolt them together. Whereas we started from scratch, using the input from our customers, and built everything to match as closely as possible what our market segments were telling us they wanted. So the interface between our software and hardware is it's honed perfectly. It's harmonious within itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we continued to pursue the research and development stage from 2007. We ran into some very tough years, and I know everyone has felt this in some way or another. There's drawbacks and there's positives out of it. One thing you spoke to earlier is the new addition of our chief marketing officer, Greg Gaines. Mm-hmm. You don't find talent like that typically available, and we were able to attract his attention. He has global marketing experience in multiple major, you know, Fortune 100 companies. Mm-hmm. And he's so interested and excited about the potential that we bring that he j- jumped into the ship with this, and he's mm-hmm. helping us move forward. But during those, I'd say 2.5 to 3 years, getting capital was very painful. What people wanted for available capital was just unattainable, unreachable for a company like ours. So very, very hard time. But it opened doors to great people who would not have been available. And it also pushed us in touch with Silicon Valley Bank that we've been able to get into the fold. And they've lent us money to move us forward and help us prepare for manufacturing and going to market. We also had an angel come in, a guy from Minneapolis who looked at our company, saw its potential, and put his own personal money into us and helped us move forward. Most exciting is we started looking for a launch partner, and we had talked with a lot of companies. We had a list, as a matter of fact, of 26 companies that had expressed interest in working with us to launch our product. We had our own personal list of two companies that we most wanted the opportunity to launch with. One of those was Apple. And for a startup company with a new device in an emerging market, it was like a dream to be able to work with a company like Apple. And we were able to work that out. We were actually being watched by them for some period of time. Apple had been looking at that marketplace, an emerging need, as they called it, customer base out there that was looking for a personal location device, something to answer where someone or something is. And as they searched for the right solution, we kind of melded together and crossed paths at a very similar point in time. So when I called into Apple to try to check on interest, I was very warmly received, and we moved very quickly into the due diligence process of them testing our devices, pulling apart our interface, and talking to us about working with them. And to our delight, we were able to launch both with the retail stores at the Apple locations throughout the United States and Canada in mid-October, and with the online store the Friday before that. So we've just been in the sales process for a couple of weeks now.
And nobody's bought it, right?
Actually, we have 4 stores that contacted us, and they were sold out within the first week.
Oh, you're going to tell me you have lines out front now.
I haven't seen any lines, but I'd love to have some pictures of one. Yeah, the only lines I've seen are was when they launched the new 4OS phone. And I mean, that was pretty exciting. But we're just delighted to be in the Apple Store. Delighted to be a part of their marketing initiative. And we have an exclusive agreement with them on the retail and the online sales for a short period of time.
Now, you didn't make the same mistake. I think it's a mistake. But you didn't make the same mistake that the boys did over at Dropbox, did you?
Can you ask me that again?
Dropbox. You know Dropbox.
No, I don't.
Steve Jobs went to Dropbox. Dropbox is a cloud-based synchronization system for files on your computer.
Exactly.
And you can get, several hundred gigabytes if you want to. You can put your whole computer up there, which I've done, because I've got, a number of different things, and I'm remote, and so I use Dropbox a lot. But Steve Jobs went to them and offered them a huge amount of money to be bought, and they said no. So, I'm glad you didn't say no.
No, not at all. We're delighted to be working with them, and we're excited to have some opportunity to sell with them. It's a great validation for the quality of our product and of the interest in our society for a product solution like this.
So now Do you have, is your manufacturing up to the level of being able to distribute to all of the Apple stores now?
It is. It is. We had to have, I believe it was 10,000 pieces in their distribution center no later than October 1st. And this was all done in a 90-day period, start to finish. So it was a race to get it done. And so we manufactured in the U.S. At the San Jose Jabil Circuits facility, the second largest consumer electronics manufacturer in the world. They've been awesome partners, high-quality product, and they're keeping up with everything that we've asked them to do.
Now, do they drop ship, or do you take it to an Apple distribution center?
Apple uses two distributors, Navar and Dr. Bot, and we are working with Navar out of Minneapolis. So Jabil ships directly from the San Jose facility to the Navar distribution center.
I'm curious, what kind of tracking do you have of sales in the various Apple stores? Do they send it to you, or can you get access to a tracking system?
We don't get specific sales numbers. What we get from Navar each week is a projection of how much product we need to ship to them within a 7 to 10 day period.
And then you bill according to that? You send an invoice for that?
Yes, we do.
Oh, good. Now, here's a question. Is Apple a slow payer or a fast payer?
Well, I'm not sure how much liberty I have in sharing their internal processes.
But you're happy with them.
We are very happy with them.
You ship 10,000 units, and you're not still signing loans for it.
No, we are not.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. I figure they would probably be pretty fast.
Yeah,
pretty
no,
fast
we actually
their,
we completed a raise of $10 million in July. Co-managed by Think Equity up in San Francisco. And with Craig Hallam out of Minneapolis, two very large investment banks. But they both see the potential for applications like we have, particularly in the commercial side. And so they agreed to do a co-managed raise for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It sounds like you've got... Now, how long ago, when did you start this?
Start which part?
Well, when did the idea become a real idea where you could see that we're going to have a product here?
Yes. Well, to tell you the truth, there were several times along the road where we just wondered if it was ever going to come together. You know, we often talk about the cutting edge of technology. Well, I would describe it more as the bleeding edge of technology, and that's where we were. We were pushing everybody, the antenna people, the GSM and the GPS module people, everything to try and get the device down to a small enough size that it could fit nicely into a person's pocket. Weighs 1.4 ounces, and it just that just wasn't there even 2 years ago. So we've just been pushing. And then the phenomenal growth of smartphones with internet access and the apps that come from the iPhones and the iPads and the Android phones and Windows Mobile, you know, Blackberries, all that stuff that's out there today that wasn't even thought of 2 years ago. It's just enhanced the match to a highly mobile society and our need to stay connected to things. So we've leveraged all of those.
Help me, let's talk a little bit about the ups and downs. When you found those obstacles, how did you approach that? Talk a little bit about what your emotional response was when your antenna builder said, can't be done.
Sure.
Did you ever say that?
Absolutely. It was once you get a can't be done, then you simply shop to the next antenna builder. You show them what you're doing. You share with them your vision of what can happen if it can be achieved, and you look for the right partner who's just as willing as you are to stay committed for the duration and stay in the race and get it done. And we were lucky. We found people in each critical area that worked with us. U-Blox is our partner for the GPS and GSM components that are critical parts of our device. And, you know, they saw it. They said, you know what? We believe that if you can hit this size and this form factor and you can build it in a mass market way so you can get the price down under $150, we believe you're going to own the market. And so they stepped in and helped us.
What I'm hearing then is when somebody says, when a vendor says it can't be done, they're not talking about it. They're talking about themselves.
They are. They are, and they're the wrong partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just have to go. And I have to say, it also comes down to having the right partner at home. I have a wife who watched us put a lot of money into this venture personally and then work for, you know, most of 5 years without taking a paycheck and paying for the opportunity to work and still believe that we were going to do it. And I couldn't have done it without the support of my spouse, and, you know, the rest of the team is in the same boat. Our families made the sacrifice and had the same belief and vision that we did.
It takes that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I don't care what your business acumen is. If you're not committed to stay for the duration, you won't make it.
What did Robert Louis Stevenson say? Hitch your wagon to a star, huh?
Yep. And that's what it takes. You have, but there's a lot of work that goes into picking the right star. And I think when you have not just blood and sweat equity into a process, but you've got your own money and you've put your future at risk because you've taken out so much that you have to make it, then you stay committed during those low points. And then
because
you got friends.
What's the choice?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
So now, where do you see yourself now on the hockey stick? Has it taken off?
Well, we're seeing activations coming over our network every day. I think the biggest day we had was 63 activations just the other day, and we've only just started sales. So, you know, we're pretty excited that it's taking off. And we also have commercial applications that are talking just some really, really exciting numbers and very large vertical markets. And, you know, we're just starting, and it's going to grow from there. One of the really attractive aspects of our business, particularly from an investor's perspective, is not only is there a sale of a device, but there's a recurring monthly service fee that comes in for the connectivity that transmits your data and lets other people know where you are, your assets are. So that accumulates and multiplies month over month over month and becomes a very attractive return on your investment.
Well, so for a consumer, what's the price point to go to an Apple store right now to buy the device for my family, you know, one device, and what's the price, and what's the price for the monthly service?
The personal location device is $149, and it includes 2 months of service with it. And then on an ongoing basis, it's $12.95 a month. There is no contract, so if you don't need it, maybe you just use it during the summertime, your kids are going to summer camps or scout camps or other things, and you want to turn it off during the school year, you can do that. You just turn it off, and then later on you can turn it back on and pay when you use it. The vehicle device is $189. That connects directly to the power in your vehicle. That includes 2 months of service. And then after that period, it's $12.95 a month.
Okay. This is one of the case stories that will be told about how successful this is. But the reality is there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears along the way.
We laugh about that, that at some point in time people even go, man, look at what those guys did in such a short period of time and so easily.
We think, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, they were just lucky. They just picked it right.
Yep. Yeah, we literally have one of the three of us that started the company who sold her vehicle just so we could pay the rent, in the office. So, I mean, there were tough times in the past.
Yeah.
And the excitement about where we are, I mean, it's just a wonderful feeling to know that you were a part of creating something like this.
That's great. It's so glad to be with you. I'm glad that you were with us today. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Will. It's been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you this evening.
Good. Super. Well, maybe we'll have to talk about getting the Pilgrim on the 405 all geared up here so it can be traced. Maybe you need another example, huh?
There you go.
All righty. Well, take care. I look forward to talking with you again, you and Greg, again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, what a story. What a story. Getting ready to take off up that very steep ascent up the hockey stick. You know, we've heard about that so many times, and we've seen it happen in the past, and here we see it again. One example of a company of people who were very clear about where they wanted to go, and very high expectations of their vendors, didn't take no for an answer. Simply moved on to the next one when somebody said they didn't believe they could do it anymore. Wonderful experience right here in Orange County, making a big difference in what's going to happen in terms of GPS, personal GPS, and commercial GPS. And like we said, there's going to be a lot of changes in the way that we see the world and the way that we are able to track what behaviors are out there. So, Pilgrim on the 405 stumbles across other things every week. We look forward to talking with you again.
You've been listening to The Only Man That Takes You Out Where Others Won't. Past the frontiers of what you thought was possible. It's the Pilgrim on the 405, only here on OCTalkRadio.net.